The media doesn't show Lebanon to the outside world the right way at all. It's really unfair that people don't know the real image of Lebanon.
أهلا وسهلا أناستازيا. I love Anastasia. You should be our minister of tourism.
Inshallah.
What are some advice you give these students to succeed in this path?
One of the main things is that you have to for sure.
Did you ever go through something that was hardship or heartache that really shaped who Anastasia is today?
If you probably want to reach some really high level in life, you need to have people who don't believe in you. The motivation to prove them wrong. If you want to achieve more things in the future, sometimes it's worth missing out in the present for a bit.
What's one last message you want to leave them with? You were sick in the morning, you're fine?
Yeah.
A bit of hangover.
No. No. I don't go out during the week.
You don't go out during the week?
No, I only go out during weekends.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you rest during the week more so?
During the week, I work. Yeah.
So you do all of the editing?
Yeah. And
Since the start. Bravo.
The shooting.
The editing. Bravo.
Searching for the song that takes forever to find for the video is the hardest one.
So searching for the song.
Yeah.
You select the songs from Instagram directly.
Yeah. But when you have a lot of videos, you always have to come up with songs, and it's actually not so easy because there's not a lot of trending songs, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's okay, 3 or 5 trending songs, but you need to have a lot of videos, so you have to always find.
You need to search, bookmark them.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at different stuff. We'll get into all of that. First of all, I would like to say ahla wa sahla Anastasia.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us today. I'm very excited personally. Yeah, and I don't know about you guys. Anastasia is the best guide in Lebanon.
Thank you so much.
She always shows us the best places, the best beaches, entertainment. I mean, honestly, me and my circle, at least, if we need a reference of where to go or if we're trying something new, we go to your page.
No, it really means a lot because I've been doing this for 4 years. It's very easy maybe to grow on social media, reach a certain level of audience, in terms of numbers. You can grow on social media pretty fast these days, you know? You can have a viral video that has million views, and then you can grow. But the hardest thing nowadays is to stay still trending. So you have to always come up with new things. You have to always elevate your content. And this is the hardest thing.
100%. And we're going to definitely get into that because, you're doing it right. Everyone's keeping watching. And I think one of the most important things is that people trust you. Yeah, and I think you built a reputation where people trust Anastasia. They trust what she says. She's not just selling stuff, selling reviews, because I think that might be something in this industry where, you know, people give reviews. Sometimes they sell reviews there and they say it's good, but it's not actually good. So I believe, you built also this reputation, keeping aside that the content is very beautiful that you create and what you share. I think people trusted you. You know?
Yeah, that's actually very true.
Over a period of time.
For me, building trust over the years was the most important thing, definitely. I can't say that it's not my work and I just do it out of fun and out of hobby. Of course, doing something for 4 years without getting back income, you can't stay motivated. Of course, you have to take it seriously at some point. And realize that social media is also your work and you have to monetize it eventually.
100%.
Because then you will not have a motivation to post and be consistent and take it seriously. But definitely for me, trust comes on the first place because I'm very, 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 very picky with what I post, with who I work or collaborate. So I think that's why, yeah.
We're gonna get into all of that because content creation is obviously something so important and how you build the trust. But I want to know, maybe you shared it before, what brought you to Lebanon? How did you arrive to Lebanon, right? How did you get here?
Okay, so I was living in Berlin in 2018, and then I met someone, and he showed me Lebanon, and we came here for a vacation, and I really liked it. So after my university, I decided that I wanna move here with him, and we moved here in 2019. And that's when everything happened in Lebanon, like there was the revolution and then the crisis and then the corona. So it wasn't exactly how I saw it in 2018 when I like decided like, wow, this country is everything I have never imagined, because, you know, honestly, I've never heard about Lebanon much before.
Wow.
I really didn't know much about the country. I heard some things, but mostly negative things, like how it's dangerous and you know, it's not safe to travel here. So when I came here in 2018, I was shocked because I see like all the parties, all the rooftops, beaches, like everything, like beaches, like my accent might, you know,
don't worry about beaches, we got you
with the sea and the sand.
100%.
And when I came here, I was really surprised. I couldn't believe, like, no one ever told me about this country before, or I've never seen this country much before anywhere. Like, that's how it is. Yes. So I really loved my time here for the during the vacation. And I felt like, actually, I feel like I want to try to live here for a bit, maybe, and see if I like it. So I moved here after I graduated from my university, and I felt like, you know, directly at home. I lived actually in Switzerland for 10 years before that, and I never felt there like home. I always felt there like a foreigner. I'm just studying here, I'm just here for a bit, and then like they're gonna kick me out because I don't have a European passport. That's how you feel there. Yeah. But here, I maybe after 3 months, I already felt like home. Like, this is my home. I got a dog here after 2 months, so I felt like I can stay here now. And yeah, I felt super comfortable here.
That's beautiful to hear. Again, I think, Yane, seeing it as someone came from outside and been to different places like Switzerland, Berlin, and other cities, they come to Lebanon, feel like home. It always makes any Lebanese, you know, feel very happy, you know, because I think this is what we aim for. We want this country to be hospitable and welcoming to everyone. And I'm very happy that you loved it and you actually moved here. But you said before you came here, you heard lots of negative things about Lebanon and that people shouldn't travel here. You know, what do you think about this? Like, does the media portray it harsher than it really is?
Yeah, definitely. The media doesn't show Lebanon to the outside world the right way at all, because all you hear is the negative parts of the country, that it's poor, that it's in crisis, that it's not safe, that you don't feel like people are educated here, you don't feel like people are open-minded here, you don't know that they how they live, what they like to do. So it's completely not the right way. So that's I think one of the reasons actually I was motivated to start my page, because I wanted to show people the real image of Lebanon, the one that I see, the one that I found out about when I came here, because I felt like it's really unfair that people don't know the real image of Lebanon.
Yeah, it is. And we hope, you know, that the real image does come out and the country hopefully the situation will improve, it will get better. And you said you came at a time where lots of unfortunate events happened, right? What Heke kept you here, you know, although there were all these events that are different, which is like, let's say the revolution, people protesting,
then the explosion
then the money, the currency deteriorating. Now there's this huge issue in the south also.
Yeah, to be honest, through this 5 years since I've been in Lebanon, there has been happening a lot of crazy things.
Yeah.
And I'm still surprised that I never, ever even wanted to leave. I could leave any moment. Like, I could go back to Russia. We could move to Dubai. Mm. Like, there is a lot of options, but I've never, ever wanted to leave, even after, I mean, we were in explosion ourselves, and we're in Marmahail, very close to it, so... But I feel like it's hard to explain, but like, I'm so attached to Lebanon. I don't know how to explain that, but I think this is what I mentioned, that like, even in Switzerland, I lived for 10 years and I never felt like welcome there. I never felt like it's my place. Mm. But here, it's just like Lebanon has a very special energy. It's hard to explain it. Like, you have to come to Lebanon, you have to live here, you have to go out here, you have to meet Lebanese people to experience that. It's just like a very special energy here, a special vibe that like, you cannot see it anywhere else. Like, even now I traveled to Turkey, and like, it's a beautiful country. There is beautiful resorts, there is a lot of nice places to go for vacation, but there is no vibe there like in Lebanon. Mm. So I think my heart told me, like, I feel like this is the place where I want to stay. And I still believe in Lebanon, like, even with all the unfortunate events and with the, like, maybe there might be a war happening, when we never know. Mm. But I still, I think till last day, I'm gonna stand here and hope that Lebanon still gonna survive all this, and there is a brighter future coming to Lebanon.
Everything you're saying warms my heart a lot. So I mean, it's amazing stuff, and I agree with what you're saying. Lebanon is one of the most beautiful countries in the world, I think, and that's being more or less an objective. It just needs better management, and despite everything that's happening, it's still beautiful. Imagine if, like, the management was actually good,
or if there was a president in the country,
or if there was at least a president.
For example,
yeah, and I hope that would make the country so much better. And you mentioned something important. You felt welcome here. You felt like you belong. How did you feel this welcoming? How did you get integrated, acquainted with new people, and feel like home? How did that happen?
Well, first of all, I must admit, it's super awesome that in Lebanon everyone speaks English. For me, as a person who doesn't speak Arabic, coming to a country, like a new country, I feel comfortable because everyone understands me. Everywhere I go, everyone knows English in the end of the day. This is amazing. Like, Lebanese people are very educated. It's rarely that you find someone who doesn't speak English at all. Very rarely.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is what's already comfortable. And second of all, yeah, Lebanese people have great hospitality. They're genuinely happy to receive you whenever you go to, like, let's say, a place or a restaurant. They are genuinely happy to have you there. They're not like pretending, or they're not mean or rude to you. They're always like happy to have you. I've never had an experience over 5 years that like someone is very rude to you or not happy to have you in the place.
Mm.
And yeah, like, the Lebanese people, they're very warm and friendly, and it's very easy to communicate with them. So I guess they also made me feel like welcome.
Well, I love Anastasia. You should be our minister of tourism.
Inshallah.
Wallah, I would love to have Anastasia as our minister of tourism. The way you talk about it. And Anastasia, how did you meet new people, make your own circle, and you know, get to grow your network in Lebanon? Because also maybe it's challenging to go to a new country and make a whole bunch of new friends. How were you able to do that?
Yeah, at first I didn't have friends, for sure. That's why I got a dog. She was my best friend here. But then the person who I moved here to Lebanon, I met his friends first, and we were going out like as a group together. But at the point when I started making my own friends, I guess, of course, the Instagram helped.
Mm.
When I started being more active on Instagram and when I started my page, I must admit more and more people start texting you and you and they want to go out. And honestly, I met a lot of really great people thanks to that. That's why I'm really also happy that I have the page, because it gave me an opportunity to meet a lot of very cool people who are also talented, who are fun to be with. So that's why in the end of the day, social media is something you cannot ignore nowadays. It's really beneficial for your life in all the fields, in all the aspects, as in business, same as personal relationships, in terms of meeting new people, new contacts, new friends. So definitely it's really beneficial.
Of course. I mean, one of the reasons also I started this podcast is to get to know people, of course, to help the audience listen to a very interesting conversation. They get inspired, they learn, but also for myself to meet new people as well and learn from them as well, from yourself.
That's you know, the funny thing about me that I was like a super crazy introvert. I couldn't meet new people. I love to be like in my close circle. I would stay home more than go out before, and I was like really antisocial person, super antisocial. I hated meeting new people. It was like giving me so much anxiety. But after Instagram, it changed me a lot. After I started my page, I started loving to meet people, because I realized like it's actually really fun and it's cool to learn from others and it's amazing to have new acquaintances. So Instagram really changed my my personality, I guess, in a better way, because it is nice to like to meet new people.
And did anyone discourage you from coming here?
I mean, maybe, yeah. At first, when I told my family and my friends, like, say, in Russia, that I'm moving to Lebanon, they're like, what? You mean Libya? Like, if you tell someone outside Lebanon, they think Lebanon and Libya is the same thing.
No way.
They're, like, laughing. Like, what are you going to do there, ride camels? And, like, and then you, when you move there and you get married there, they're going to put you the scarf.
That's really how they think.
Yeah, that's how they think. Everyone was like so in shock that I said I am moving to Lebanon. They're like, where the hell is that, you know? Yeah. So I was even more motivated. Like, I'm going to show all my friends like that this is not that bad of a country. Like, it motivated me even more, like, to film content, to go all the far places, to... Like, this was my biggest motivation. Like, I wanted to show and prove all my friends that they are wrong. And I'm actually, like, picked, like, a really nice place.
100%. And how was their reaction after, you know, you did the page, you showed the different places? Did any of them come to Lebanon?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of them were like, no way, this is Lebanon. I can't believe it. Like, they were all very surprised, definitely. And my parents came here.
They came here
5 times.
They fell
in love. Yes, they also fell in love with Lebanon. They love it so much. Two of my best friends came. They're from Kazakhstan. They loved Lebanon a lot. So me personally, I don't know a single person who came to Lebanon and was like, I didn't like it.
Oh, you'll have fun here.
Everyone who comes to Lebanon, they get a chance to see what this country is
and
really.
And you know, for every season, there's something. Like, in summer, there's the beaches, and during winter, there's the different mountains you can go ski in, Faraya and Erez and different places.
That's the cool thing about Lebanon, that actually you can come here anytime. Yeah. You'll have fun in autumn, in spring, in winter, in summer. It's not seasonal, because... a lot of countries, like, let's say, I don't know, now I went to Bodrum in Turkey, it's just for summer. But Lebanon, it's like all season you will find cool things to do.
Yeah.
Like, all the activities here have its own season.
Amazing, amazing. Well, I love every word you're saying. Anastasia, can I ask you, how did you start producing content? Were you doing that before you came to Lebanon? Was it something you were doing like in Russia and Switzerland, or did you start this here in Lebanon, the production of content and reviews of places?
Honestly, I was always into, like, I loved taking pictures, I loved filming videos since, like, I was young. I was always into filming things.
Mm.
And in Berlin, I actually had a similar page. I was reviewing restaurants there also, but I never showed myself there. It just was like food pictures. Because I always love to go out to restaurants. I always love to try new food. So it was something I was really passionate about. But in Lebanon, I started like a completely new page. It was a different idea. And I think one of the reasons also is because I was studying marketing.
Mm.
I did my master's in marketing. And I wanted to apply what I learned in a way on social media. I wanted to test what I've learned, so it kind of worked out.
Worked out great.
Yeah.
And so you told me you produce all of your content. You shoot them, you edit them, and then you publish them, right?
Like, yeah.
That's how it started, and that's how it is right now. You don't have, like, anyone supporting you?
No, wow. Not at all. Because I feel like I want my content to have my own touch, like, my own feel to it. I don't know. I can't. Maybe I should try one day, but I can't really trust someone yet with my content. I don't know.
No, yeah. I mean, you have, again, you have very beautiful personal touch, and you do the voiceovers as well, which is something that's not easy to replicate, and then you need to instruct someone.
Of course, yeah. Like, if you hire a professional videographer, your content will be more elevated, will be more maybe professional than, like, me filming with my phone. But I don't know, I feel like it's going to lose this personal touch.
I think one of the things that personally and I think people love the most about your content is that it has this personal touch. We don't want a professional camera to
but
come
we don't know like the trends are changing.
Yeah, some people are liking the high quality content,
and now high quality content, professional videos are also taking over Instagram, so I can never say maybe like I should never do that, but we'll see.
Try it.
But I believe, of course, you have to stay in touch with the trends. You have to check what's working better, what your audience likes. You can't ignore that. So if, let's say, my audience eventually likes more high production content, and that's what I have to do, I'll have to do that. But for now, I feel like keep doing with the personal touch more.
Of course. And what are some tools that you use, you know, to, like, what's the process of, for example, creating a reel or a TikTok? What are some of the tools you use? Do you use Adobe? Do you use, like, CapCut? I know it's very, very famous. And yeah, what's, like, the general process that you usually take to build a reel?
Well, first of all, I like to brainstorm some ideas. Like, I don't want to go every time to a restaurant and start the video, like, the same way. I feel like it gets boring. So I really try to look for some ideas of how I can make it a bit different this time. And then you shoot the content. And I edit it just on CapCut.
On CapCut.
Yeah. Just CapCut.
Beautiful. You're showcasing, really. It's very simple. Just about having something different, editing well, good skills, and then you publish it.
But some videos, like, let's say, it might take up to 5 hours to edit, even though it's like 30-second reel and it's just done on CapCut. But it takes time because, like, as I mentioned, you want to find the song, then sometimes you want to decide, like, you're gonna do it as a text or you want to do it as a voiceover, and then, like, you wanna, like, it takes time to edit. And then I also write the text because I also do the review, so I always write the long text, so it takes time. And then, like, let's say you also have to do a stories, it's like a different type of thing, you know. You just wasted, like, your time, not wasted, but, like, you spend your time on editing the reel, and then you also have to talk in stories about the place, and then stories editing takes like another few hours to, like, because you want the stories to also be engaging and high quality.
Yeah, it's a lengthy, definitely lengthy. You need to put in the time so that the outcome is a good one, of course.
And the problem is that people nowadays get bored so fast. Like, their attention span is so fast. Like, 2 seconds, the video doesn't interest, they scroll to another one, you know. It's very hard to get people's attention, especially now there is so many content creators out there on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. So how do you make sure that you are the one who got the attention of your people, that you have to always come up with new things, with exciting, with, like, to show them things from different angles? Like, you cannot stay the same. You cannot put the same content all the time. This is the hardest thing, to always come up with some new approaches, new things.
Stay within your niche, but different approaches.
But innovate. You have to stay in your niche. You shouldn't jump from niche to niche. This is why some content creators, maybe it doesn't work out for them, because sometimes they go into lifestyle, then they decide to talk about fashion, then they think, oh, I'm also going to start reviewing restaurants, you know. But yeah, you have to always stay with one idea, one niche, but, like, always innovate.
Amazing. And sometimes you do workshops, right?
You
do workshops and you get students as well. What are some, you know, top advices you give to your students? I'm sure these students are into content creation as well and marketing the product. What are some advice you give these students to succeed in this path?
Yeah, I had, like, now 5 workshops done. I do it, like, once or twice a year max, because it takes a lot of your energy. Because when I do it, I really like to give all out, like, all the knowledge I have. It goes for, like, 4 hours, the workshop. And I share everything I know and everything I learned about growing your Instagram. But I think one of the main things is that you have to, for sure, make sure you do what you love. Like, a lot of people, they start their page because they see, oh, it worked out for this person, I'm gonna also do the same. Or now it's trending to make, funny videos. Or now it's trending to review restaurants, I'm gonna do the same. No, like, you shouldn't go with something was trending. You have to do what you really, really love, personally. And you have to do it not because you want to become famous or you want to start earning money.
Yeah, 100%.
Because if you don't follow, to earn money reason, then for sure, I believe it will work out no matter what you do.
Totally agree. You got to have the passion for it. You have to love what you're doing. But besides that, if you want to say 2 more things, okay, right,
Definitely.
To the path of success, what are 2 important things?
I guess I'll judge from myself for what worked for me is that you have to be very genuine.
Genuine.
Yeah, I don't think you can last on Instagram and build a very great personal brand if you are not honest with your audience, or you are acting, or you're pretending like to be someone you are not. You have to be very genuine. You have to be yourself. You have to sometimes show your flaws. You have to sometimes show that not everything in your life is perfect, that sometimes you also go through bad things. And this, first of all, makes your audience more close to you, because they understand you're just like them. You're another person. You're not like that perfect blogger who's living that perfect life. No, like, you also go through so much shit in life.
100%.
And definitely it makes your audience trust you and feel closer to you. So you have to be very honest and genuine.
Yeah.
And another thing is you have to be very disciplined.
Discipline.
You have to be consistent with your content. You can't just, like, post once a month. No, on YouTube, maybe, because it's a long podcast. I don't know. Maybe you can. But on Instagram, you have to be very active. You have to be very engaging, devoted. So discipline for Instagram is very, very important.
100% agreed. I think being genuine. I love the bloopers that you post. They're very funny.
Yeah.
Because you showcase, like, the process of developing the reel. Like, even when you're going out, you're taking multiple shots to find the right one. And it shows, one, I know, the genuine part of it, and two, the hardworking part of it as well, because I mean, it showcases you're taking multiple shots as well to find the best one for your reel. So that's very important.
Yeah, because that shows me that I'm realizing a lot of people don't know. They think you go, you shoot a video, it's so easy, what is this, you know? But there is so much more to it. Like,
yeah.
It's like a whole world of social media that you have to daily invest your time and your energy into, so that it's like a huge business. It's like, for me, when I see like a page, it's like your empire, it's your business. And for it to stay stable and successful, you have to invest your time and energy on a daily basis.
It's a full-time thing, especially in your case. It's a full-time thing. Like, again, there's the shooting, there's the editing, there's the posting.
Engaging with your audience, talking to them also. It's very important.
Very important to engage and talk with them as well, definitely. To keep them, to feel like you're there. I mean,
because me, what I really am happy about is whenever I meet someone, let's say in town, and they tell me, we like your page, they always tell me, and we really love that. Like yesterday, I asked you a question, you answer. So it's really, it's like I know I'm in the right place when people tell me, oh, you're not this mean blogger who never answers. Like everyone always tells me, by the way, I love that you always answer my message. So it feels like I'm their friend because I always answer, you know, when they ask.
Are you able to answer to everyone, especially when the page grows?
I really try my best to answer everyone.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe there is very stupid questions. I will have to ignore it. But when it's reasonable, I always answer.
have you faced sometimes negative comments, negative stuff? Messages on social media?
To be honest, I don't want to jinx it.
Alhamdulillah. But Alhamdulillah.
For 4 years, really not a lot of that's negativity. Maybe like there is one out of 100,000 people and it most probably is going to be like a bot or like a page with like zero followers, zero pictures.
Probably.
Maybe like, of course, you have to understand that someone might be jealous. Like, it's normal because, you do show on Instagram in the end of the day a lot of good aspects of your life. And maybe someone might be jealous at the end of the day. But me, I react very normal to that. I don't, it doesn't really affect me. Max, I'll just block them.
It's the best course of action to take. I agree. And what would you say has been the biggest obstacle or challenge in growing your page? You know, have you faced any issues, you know, in this journey?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges is that the page grew pretty fast in the beginning, and then it reaches like a certain number, and it's harder to now grow more and more, because let's say when the reels were just introduced to Instagram, it was really easy to for the reel to have the organic reach and to have a lot of views. Now, because there is more content creators, there is more competition, definitely it's harder for like every reel to go viral or every reel to have a lot of views. So that's where the challenge comes. And the main challenge, as I mentioned, also that people get really bored of similar content. So I'm realizing that you have to be very creative and you have to come up with very different content every single time if you want to keep growing. And this is now, for me, one of the challenges that I'm feeling. Because like I know that my audience, let's say they know me as a person who shows Lebanon and a person who reviews restaurants. But I've noticed that like, if I only show reviewing restaurants, it doesn't really work anymore. People want something more now, you know? They want to see more things. They want to see maybe me in a different way. Like you feel that.
Yeah, you need to innovate. You need to try new things. I totally agree. I mean, as we said before, it's innovating within your same niche. I think that's very important. And I think another question that I have is, the people you advise, you know, what do you tell them they should avoid, right? And you tell them, okay, these are the success factors. What are things content creators should avoid to do?
Avoid. Yeah, as I said, like, just only, let's say, following the trends, not having their own personal touch. Like, if you... Me, personally, I don't support people who copy others.
Who copy others.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who, like, me, I come up with a real idea. I see it, like, it spreads, like, everyone writes the same sentence on the reels, like, they're doing exactly the same ideas. Maybe it's smart for them because they know, like, okay, if it worked for me, then maybe it will work for them also. Maybe it's smart. But on the long run, I personally can be very sure that I never copy anyone. I try to come up with my own ideas. It's normal to get inspired by others and to get some ideas from other people and make it in your own way. This is very normal because in the end of the day, on Instagram, everyone gets inspired by each other. But, like, really, really copy, this is something you cannot, I think, really survive on the long run. You have to search the ideas from within you, I think.
No, 100%. I think 100%. You can get inspired.
Yeah.
I mean, something.
It's normal.
I have a background in consulting myself. So, like, an exercise that I always do is benchmarking. This is the what I do. So I see what others are doing, what potential competitors are doing, what other...
You have to study your market.
Exactly.
Sure.
Study the market, see what they're doing. So not in order to copy, no, but in order to, one, differentiate and potentially, yes, get inspired by stuff that they're doing and develop it myself. Because at the end of the day, you have to know what's out there. You know, you focus on yourself, but it's important to know what's out there because maybe something innovative came out there which might inspire you in a way or another. That's very important to study the market.
True.
And speaking of markets, now you're not penetrating a new one, but you're in a new venture, I think, which is Vibes.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to talk about Vibes as well. From what I understood, it's like consolidating all of what you learned, the different places that you went to, putting them in a place for people to go and see. But can you explain it in your own words? What's Vibes? What's this project that you're working on?
Okay, so basically Vibes, it's gonna be an app. We already have it on the website as a directory. Me, I had I still have a Guidelby website. Basically, you can go and search there for any place you want. Vibes in this way is a bit similar because it's a directory. So whenever someone, let's say, comes to visit Lebanon for the first time, they don't know where to go out, what to do, they just go. There is a very easy search. You can find places like for a rooftop, parties, restaurants, whatever you need. But this time, it's not me uploading the places, it's the businesses themselves are creating their own profiles. So basically, we give access to the business and they upload their own pictures, they write the description, they give the details about the place, there is like information, like a contact details, their location, there is even like... We came up with this really cool thing that every business will have their Spotify playlist, so that basically they upload the playlist and you know when you go to the place what is the vibe of the place, like what's the music they're playing, so you are already excited and ready and know what to expect there. And there is a lot of nice, cool perks that basically, like, it's gonna be a CV of a business. You will find like everything in one page of this business. This
Beautiful.
Is like first of all that you will use it as a directory. Second of all, there is a benefit for the users of Vibes is that the places will be offering some special gestures. So how in general the idea of Vibes came is that I've been realizing that a lot of people lately have been complaining that the prices in Lebanon are raising really high, and Lebanese people really love to go out. They love to go out every day, but nowadays they cannot really anymore go out every day. If you look at it, half of the places are empty during the week and people just go out only weekend because it's hard to afford to go out that much. And they've been asking me, Anastasia, do you have by any chance any promo codes or any offers from the places that you are reviewing that we can also benefit from, because we cannot keep on spending this much money. So this is where I realized that this is really needed in Lebanon, for people to get some extra gestures and offers every time they go out. So we've been talking and studying this market, and we've been also discussing with the businesses, and we agreed that we're gonna start introducing some little gestures to the users. Like, for example, you go out to, I don't know, Iris, and you get like a bottle of wine on the house if you are a Vibes user. So those little gestures, just to make people's experience more enhanced, and so they also enjoy, because I don't know, to be honest, when we as bloggers, when we go out, we sometimes get from restaurant like some gestures, like a free dessert on the house, or a free shot, or like a free glass of wine, like as a gesture. But I'm thinking, why do we get this? Why do people not get this? And when I get this, this makes me like happy, and I want to come back to the place, because it's very cute that the owner like took a small treat for me, you know. It makes me want to come back to the place even more, and like the place even more, when I'm like appreciated that I don't go there, let's say, every weekend. I spend my money there every weekend, and I don't get like a small gesture in return. So I felt like people will also enjoy that, and this is what we're gonna do on Vibes.
I love it. Thank you for the explanation and telling us about Vibes. Amazing idea. I mean, we do need this directory. I think that's something everyone would look at. Really, I know I don't. Personally, I always suffer, like, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? So having a place on where people can easily put reviews, right? People will be able to put reviews.
Yes, people will be anyone can put reviews.
Right.
And sometimes it can be fake reviews. Like, yeah, a competitor might, for example, try to ruin another business, and they create like 10 Google profiles, and they write like bad reviews, and that they're not real. So we thought about how can we stop that on Vibes. So basically, only person who went to the place, let's say, and they used this offer of the place, only they can leave a review, and you're gonna have a profile on Vibes, so we know like your name, you filled your information, so it can't be fake.
It cannot be fake, because from, let's say, they're gonna use some type of code, right? When they go to the place, so like,
yeah, it's gonna be like a QR code when they want to redeem the offer.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be also a great marketing tool for the businesses, because they're gonna have a huge insights of who came to the place, what kind of person redeemed the offer, which offers bring more guests. So there's gonna be like a huge insights to the businesses. It's kind of like a new marketing tool in the business.
It is a marketing tool in the business.
And also the platform, it's very like modern. We're trying to, in general, modernize the market of tourism in Lebanon, because we want people who come to Lebanon to see that Lebanon has cool modern apps for people to use and to go around. So this is also like, we want to revolutionize the tourism market here.
Anastasia, fantastic. I mean, I love it, the entire idea, honestly, and how it's gonna help the people, actually, and personally myself, yeah, I went to the website. Currently, you can or subscribe right now or not yet? It's on the app.
Not yet.
On the app, yeah. But I went to the website. I saw the different.
Yeah,
places.
Now you can just use it as a directory. You can see places. You can know where to go out. It's the website is also mobile friendly. But for now, you cannot without the app. You cannot use the offers.
Hmm.
Yeah, but the thing is that App Store,
It's annoying,
and they are so picky.
They're very picky.
Very picky, and they take very long time to review your app, and
I know.
They try to like tell you, no, you have to change this little thing and this little
BS.
Code, and you have to create a new version of the app again and again, and submit to them, and also like they charge 30% from every single
purchase.
So in the end, it's a charity organization.
I know, because I work I work with a company called Maharat as well.
Okay.
Maharat, where we host we develop classes with celebrities like Raghib Alami, Qusay Khawli, and all of that, and also, and Bassam Fatouh, we did a class with them as well. We also have an application, and now we're doing it. We also, I know all the story about Apple.
Yeah,
they need to be a bit more friendly.
No, in general, I think this is what now I'm shifting to. Is like before my life was stressful as a blogger, now it's double stressful as an entrepreneur.
As an entrepreneur, yeah, you
just
have
like
to
added more stress.
Best, bravo! I think the concept is gonna really help the entire, you know, community here. So people can subscribe, businesses can put their, I think something that would be very interesting if you put like also on businesses like Guide LB approved or something like that.
In general, we don't just accept any business. We are very picky. No, it's not.
But so they're uploading themselves now.
Basically, for now, we picked the businesses ourselves that we want to be on Vibes.
Okay.
We picked them and they created their own profiles. Before the profile is submitted, it has to be approved by us. So we check every profile.
So you check the profile.
Yeah, we check every place. We have a certain criteria. Like, for example, the place has to have a good rating on Google. The pictures have to be very high quality. So we are very picky with places. We want to keep it very like top places.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I love it. I can't. When do you expect the app to be released?
I mean, we are in talks with Apple weekly. So hopefully, I don't know, by the end of this week, it might happen already.
I hope so. I hope so.
I'm gonna go celebrate if it happens. I can't wait.
I congratulate you on all of this. And how are you, you know, adapting with this new venture? Because having your also this, it's a business. It's a new business. How are you managing your time and?
At first, it added so much unexpected stress that I went crazy. But then I got myself together and I realized that no, you have to stay very focused. Like if you really want to achieve a lot of things in life, you have to stay focused. But it's hard in Lebanon in summertime. It's really hard to
very
stay
difficult
focused
to focus
because like all the expats come and so many new places opening in Lebanon, so many parties, so many nice things to do. You feel like you're gonna have FOMO if you stay home and work, but sometimes you have to stay home and work. If you want to achieve more things in the future, sometimes it's worth missing out in the present for a bit, I think.
100%. I mean, I live in Dubai, and there is distractions in Dubai, right?
But yeah, for sure.
But in Lebanon, there's much more.
Yeah, that's one of the negative things in Lebanon. There is too much fun here.
There's too much
so
fun. Too much
it's
fun.
It's very distractive.
Because there's always something to do. There's
but I think, yeah. It's
you can focus. You need to focus, yeah, at the end of the day. Build the business. And I'm very excited to be you. I'll be one of the first users of the app for sure.
Thank you. Even
if I'm in Dubai, I'm going to use it. I hope it comes out before I head back there. But again, I've seen the website. Looks fantastic. And what do you think, you know, is the long-term mission, vision of Vibes? Like, what do you want to achieve in long-term with Vibes?
Definitely, we wanted to become one of the top platforms in Lebanon for when you go out, to attract more tourists. We want to, of course, try to launch campaigns where we attract people to Lebanon because of the platform, and eventually, of course, maybe grow in the region to grow outside of Lebanon, maybe go to the other countries in the Middle East.
For sure. And listen, Anna, personally, I'm not sure, and I haven't seen other platforms similar, but is there other, and if there are, I don't know if there is in Lebanon, but if there is, how is it different, you know, Vibes, than
I think others? There is maybe a few ones that do offer also discounts or like offers, but our idea is that it's not just only, as I mentioned, the directory and offers, but it's also a marketing tool for the businesses.
Mm.
So because in a way, what they can do is they can target different people, because the users, they will share like their information about themselves, and it's gonna, the offers will be very personalized. So let's say if the happy hour the place is doing, it's only for women, they can target only women. So it's gonna be a very advanced marketing tool that I don't think anyone yet have ever done in Lebanon. Okay. So this is how it's different.
Beautiful. So you're an ad tech, advertisement technology, which is very interesting, which is very good.
Yeah, because like businesses nowadays spend thousands of dollars on paying to Meta
to
advertise their businesses, and we are bringing a local option of advertising your businesses without paying to the States.
Yeah, 100%.
To Lebanon. Because I mean, the whole team who I work with, they're all Lebanese people, and this is all for Lebanese people after all.
Bravo, bravo. Wallah, Anastasia, it's something really extraordinary. I completely love it. And this showcases, there's, despite everything, there's still there's always opportunities in Lebanon. It will become better, inshallah. It will definitely become better. And I think a question also that I wanted to dive deeper is how are you also adding like your personal touch maybe a bit to this platform, right? Because people are so used to you giving feedback. Now you're showcasing this platform, which you said all of the benefits, but your feedback, Guide LB's feedback, will not be there, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, this time it's gonna be more of a brand now, not my, like, it's still a personal brand, but yeah, it's gonna be, maybe it's a good opportunity for people to also have an opportunity to speak out and share their own reviews and their own experiences, but still, it's gonna have my own touch because I do check everything, I do approve which places go on the app, and I do help with the content, so it will still have my personal touch.
For sure, I'm very excited to see that. And Anastasia, like, I think I have Hick, just one more question, might be Hick, a personal one, just, you know, maybe to understand to understand you as a person, you know, like how you became this ambitious person, this creative person. I believe personally that in order for a person to develop, they go through difficult times, through heartaches, through hardships, that builds character and really gets them to be ambitious people. And that personally happened to myself and many of my guests who I hosted. So did you ever go through something that was a hardship, a heartache, that really shaped who Anastasia is today?
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe as a teenager, I had like some, like a bit of somewhat bullying in school, and I felt like people maybe didn't think that I'm a smart person, you know, or they think just like maybe she's just like a pretty girl and all that. And teenagers are not the kindest also people in life. They can sometimes say mean things that can stay in your head. But I think this is like sometimes was a reason and a motivation for me to like prove them that I'm not what they think, and I can do something great in this life, and that it motivates you to prove to some people who didn't believe in you that you can achieve something great, to prove them wrong. So sometimes it's good when you meet people who don't believe in you. It can be a good motivation to work harder.
100%. Haters make you push you more.
It's very important to also have people next to you who believe in you and also support you no matter what. It's also very important. But I believe, yeah, if you probably want to reach some really high level in life, you need to have people who don't believe in you.
Who brought you down. Yeah. It's experiences that really shape you
so
as a
person. So you have
a
motivation to prove them wrong.
100%. Where did you study, by the way? High school. Where were you? Were you in Russia or Switzerland?
No, I went to boarding school in Switzerland.
You went to boarding school in Switzerland. It was tough there, you know?
It was a bit tough because you are like, you know, you're far away from your home, from your family. You go there all alone by yourself. You have to like meet a lot of people. And yeah, it can be tough.
Definitely.
But it's also a lot of positive things because like you get good education, first of all. Then you meet, like, people from all around the world. And it's really a nice experience, definitely.
Amazing. Fantastic. Did you learn how to ski there?
Yeah.
Amazing. Where's skiing better, here or Switzerland? I think Switzerland is much bigger. It's difficult to compare.
But it was fun there because we had to ski in winter season, like, after classes. It was, like, mandatory. It was like, you have to ski.
Oh, so you're a crazy good skier.
But then when I moved to Lebanon, I didn't ski for 5 years. And actually, the first time I tried skiing in Lebanon was this year.
Really?
Yeah.
So you didn't
ski.
Which
I'm really embarrassed of.
So you waited 5 years to go to Faraya and ski?
Yeah. But it was really fun. I liked Faraya.
Faraya is nice. There's also Eris, but I think Faraya is there.
Yeah, I only tried Faraya for now.
I think Faraya is the spot. And Anastasia, if you wanted to say the top 3-4 places, experiences you've had in Lebanon, what would they be?
No, the first thing that comes to my mind is like some place in Beqa. I don't know, because Beqa is like my favorite area. I don't know why. It's like the Beqa Valley, when I see it, I feel like it's my favorite place. I like there is a Talet Amik.
Talet Al Amik, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah, this place, it's one of my favorite because the view on the valley, it's just so beautiful. And yeah, I like Batroun. I used to always say I like Batroun a lot, but now I feel like it's becoming a bit too commercial.
Too commercial.
Too touristic, too like, I don't know. It lost a bit of its authenticity. Me, I really love very authentic places. So, for example, I like the guest house called Beit Rad. It's very also authentic, and it's a very good example of a perfect Lebanese hospitality because this is the place where, like, you go and they treat you like it's your home. And the third place would be... It's hard to pick. There's a lot of nice places in Lebanon. I don't know. Maybe like it's not my favorite place, but like in terms of very authentic places, I actually like to go to Tripoli.
Tripoli.
Yeah. Because for me, when you go to this old souk and to all this small coffee shops in town, like of course the town, it lacks a bit of cleanliness.
It lacks investment.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's super sad because this is one of the most authentic cities in Lebanon, but it's the one that's not being taken care at all.
They don't take care at all,
but it's very authentic. So for me, like, I like that it has a very authentic vibe. So I personally like to go to Tripoli.
Beautiful. I have a few more questions before the last question. It's going to be a this or that.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you different dishes. Let's see which ones you prefer. Tabbouleh or fattoush?
Tabbouleh.
Manqouche or knafe? Although this is two different things.
Very different things. Manqouche. I guess like in terms of breakfast, if you have this or that.
Yeah, you can have this or that. Knafe on breakfast or manqouche, right.
Jibne.
Kibbenayi or hummus?
Kibbenayi. My favorite dish, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Khalas, I will go grab one after the podcast. Falafel or shawarma?
I think falafel.
Okay. Kafta or shish tawouk?
Shish tawouk.
Okay. Baklawa or ma'mool?
Ma'mool.
Sambusik or a'at?
La'at.
Okay.
Grilled.
Oh. Okay, ورق عنب بزيت أو بلحمة؟
اللحمة.
بلحمة.
No, wait, lakhme is the warm one or
yes.
The cold one?
The cold one is بزيت.
Then بزيت.
And the warm one is with لحم with
بزيت.
Meat,
بزيت.
Which
بزيت.
Is warm.
Yeah, yes.
بزيت. Okay, Let's see a couple of dishes. Mlouchiyye or...
Malachiyye.
Ah, khalas.
It's my favorite dish.
same here.
I don't know what's the other one.
I was going to say spinach.
Malachiyye.
Last one. Fasulia or basella? Basella and carrots.
Basella.
Mm. Okay, fantastic. And the last question is, what's the last...
No, fasulia. No, actually, I don't like them both.
Okay, what's one last message, to anyone who's listening, to anyone who's in content creation, who wants maybe to start his own thing, since you started your own thing also right now. What's one last message you want to leave them with?
Most important thing is not care whatever people say. Don't listen to what people say, because definitely there is gonna be a lot of friends who will try to discourage you or not take you seriously or laugh at you, like, oh, you wanna be a blogger now. So definitely you should never listen to anyone and make all your decisions just based on your own feeling, on your own gut feeling. Do whatever makes you happy, and really don't care for what people say. Because if you care, you're not going to be happy.
Amazing. Anastasia, thank you so much for coming.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me. I really had the pleasure to be here.
Of course. Thank you so much, Anastasia.